say that be mobile.
82BNG.
Doing good. I just told my whole team goodbye for the last time and shut off my work laptop, so I'm free.
You, what did you say? You quit your job, or what's going on?
My job there is done. So, yeah, I didn't quit. I'm kind of retired, but may not stay that way. I'm not filling out my paperwork for getting paid for being retired, but I'm not working anymore either. I was sad. 120 people online. I got to talk to 68 in 58 minutes to tell them goodbye, recounting things that we went through. That was kind of a sad time, but all good things got to come to an end.
To avoid those touching goodbye scenes, usually it's, I grab what little I have on the desk. Okay, bye. See ya.
For me, anyway, the guy that, one of the Scrum Masters set it up, he wanted it, and he invited all of the teams and had a really good turnout, and they just let people go up one after another, and nobody spent more than a minute, but it's kind of sad, but it is what it is, especially during COVID, you can't see each other face-to-face, but you can tell each other by over a bridge. But anyway, moving right along, I shut off that laptop for the last time.
Yeah. Over there is, go ahead, other station.
Well, I'm glad, this is Bill over in Harwell. Glad to hear you made it through the day, and hopefully some great memories. Maybe a smile, a tear, a laugh, a hug, handshake. But it all works out, so I'm sure something will come along to take your time, whether it's retirement or you decide to do something else. So I just wanted to pop in and say hello and congratulate you on the shutting down of that laptop.
It was all of the above. It was a little of everything. You know, when you spend more time with them than you spend with your family, right? They are your second family. And it is hard. It's difficult. It's like there's a movie Amy and I watched a couple of times, and it's about two guys that grew up together, and one of them ends up in jail, and the other one ends up being a sheriff, and they always revert back to, we dug coal together. Right? So we triaged, not bridges together. We figured out design sessions together. We did a lot. You know, you spend many, many hours with those people, and they're good people, really good, solid people, and all of a sudden it's over. Poof. But anyway, things move on, things change. That's life. And, yeah, it's their laptop, Glenn, not my laptop. So I've had it for 5 years. I'm shipping it back to them.
Yeah, you know, my employment situation in the past has usually never been that stable. I just never really caught on any place for, like, more than a couple of months or so. Actually, the one good job I was at for about 3 years, I actually ended up leaving. I don't know why. But, you know, that's why I guess I never try to get too close to my coworkers. And why, if you went to say, which one's my cubicle, well, it's the one over there that looks like it's empty. So, that was my defense mechanism, is don't get too close to people. You may not be around here.
I've been M4WHM. I've been in the same job at the university for going on 15 years, and a lot of the same people. So when the day comes for me to walk out, it will be tough, because like you said, you spend more time just about with them than you do your own family, and in planning sessions and meetings, projects, it's an experience, that's for sure.
I mean, I told them, you know, I encouraged them to continue doing what they were doing and how good of a job they were doing. And they told me that it's going to be tough, and I told them, no, it's not. There will be people that fill in. It's not going to be tough. You're going to do good. anyway, I've enjoyed working with them. I had a good time. That was 5 years with them. It was 15 years with Bank of America before that, and 18 years with Michelin before that. So my time is done. Unless another good one comes along, I'm keeping my options open. Anyway, kind of bittersweet, you know? It's nice to be able to leave the house at any time that you want. You don't have to wait on, you don't have to answer the bridge, and you don't have to figure out what's going on in production when things are breaking. But it's still kind of hard to not have all of that at the same time. Bittersweet. And Glenn, I get really close to it. In the end, we had teams we could ramp up to 110 people, or we could ramp down to 20 people really, really quick, depending on the demand. And just sad to see, just sad to let go of your second family. It's you're leaving your second family forever.
To where you were management anyway, right? So in a lot of cases, you didn't have to deal with the day-to-day BS, you know. I never really got to the point where I was elevated, you know. Usually at the lower levels or even the first, second line management levels, it's crisis management, constantly putting out fires. You probably haven't touched a line of code in quite a while. Well, I don't know, maybe you have. But I got tired of being in the trenches, and it never seemed as though there was an opportunity to advance, because it seemed like I never seemed to catch on to a real stable situation.
Being at the university, I was at Clemson University for 8 years before I moved to UGA. And both times at Clemson, I was a director, and now I'm a director at UGA. Been a director for 6 or 8 years, I can't remember, but I'm in IT, and I hadn't necessarily worked on the frontline computers support in a long time, but it's still fun to get out there and sort of get your hands dirty and do it a little bit at a time and have fun with it. And like I said, the crew I got are awesome. So we have a good time at UGA supporting everybody's IT needs, doing projects. So I can't complain. I got lucky and got into a great situation and enjoy it. But in the end, this is not the life for me. I'm looking forward to retirement. And when that day comes, I'll gladly walk away, but it'll be hard.
Same level here as a director, a manager of managers. But I never lost my ability to go all the way down to the last bit on the last byte, on the last packet that went through the communication network communications. And I worked really close with a lot of those people to get all of that fixed when it wasn't doing exactly what it should have been doing. So I got really, really close to a whole lot of people by never losing my technical skills all the way down to the last bit and the last byte on that last bit. you make a lot of friends when you're able to do that. And that's going to be missed. W4DJW.
2BNG, I got it. Yeah. I can still write code. I just, you know, I haven't had the opportunity. But, you know, I'm sure I could easily pick up whatever I need to pick up again if I ever had to be in that situation again. And, you know, I was at the point where by now you probably couldn't afford me. I would have priced myself out of the market, even as a technical person, because I was a very, very good C and Unix internals person, which is like the least interesting, most boring, but most important job, because that's ultimately what makes the gears grind.
It's hard to find, Glenn. I got to jump out. I'm at Goodwill. I got to unload some clothes here, and I'll be back in a minute. W4DJW.
Programming, you were definitely in high demand. The I was, and back in the day, I was a Unix DBA when I first started out. Carry on the conversation with them and help them theorize and work out problems, but I don't know that I could get in there and do it like I did 25 years ago.
And I, curiously enough, I came across code that I wrote 20 years ago, and it almost looks like it's above my pay grade. Wait, who wrote this? What the hell does this even do? Oh, no, all right, yeah, I know. I don't even know what it was the code for. It was code for some voicemail system or something. But I don't suppose I'd be as adept now. But I could very, very, very quickly come up to speed again if I had to. You know, especially a language... You know, you're talking systems programming, a language like C, which is very, very unforgiving. You know, I've already experienced most of the 1001 ways to kill yourself with, you know, a misplaced, I could probably come up to speed again very quickly if there was ever a demand and if I ever felt I needed to work again. And if at close to 60 years old, anyone would ever hire me.
With those skill sets, you could still get in the workforce easy, I believe. We have a lot of at the campus in our general IT. You know, we work with many systems, and the ones that know or grew up on Linux have been able to transition into the newer stuff and support systems like Banner and PeopleSoft and things like that, and the that foundation of Unix and C is very, very important. C programming is still in high demand for a lot of what we do at the university. So, yeah, if you don't have to, I wouldn't. But if you ever do, I wouldn't think you'd have any problem. M4WHM.
BNG. No, I don't suppose I would have a problem. You know, I don't know. The money's running out. How do I look for a job at my age? I'm not even sure I remember how to do that. And then the other problem that there is, you got to get past the gatekeepers, who are basically only looking at an endless list of buzzwords. Most of which are before my time. You know, and I feel like telling them, hey, do you need someone who can do the job or not? I don't know what most of these I have not much buzzword compliance, but see, that's what's tough convincing them of.
If somebody's not, if they're using nowadays, a lot of big companies use software to scan resumes and look for, like you said, the buzzwords and different things. But the, you know, when I hire somebody, I read their cover letter, I read their resume, and I take it for what it's worth. And, you know, I look for that experience, and I know what I'm looking for. And if they're putting in different acronyms or abbreviations, most of the time I know what they are, and I can tell whether or not they've got the skill set we need. But not everybody does that. So, but there's opportunities out there, I guarantee you. There's several companies we work with that have what I call guns for hire, and it's probably folks just like yourself that are very experienced, and when we need them, we call them, and they come in and do a short-term project, and then they're on their way. So, but yeah, it works out there, I guarantee you.
If you could explain the years-long gap in your resume, And if you could get past the, you know, the buzzword, the, you know, the gatekeepers, the keepers of the buzzwords. and what else was I going to say? And I don't even know if, I don't even know to what extent people even do interviewing anymore. It's almost looked like they, these online staffing solutions that basically are using some algorithm or something to hire somebody in. Yeah, I'm not even sure interviewing is a skill anymore.
Well, I don't know about some of the corporate stuff. It's been a long time since I've been in corporate, but at university, we do face-to-face interviews. And I personally, when I'm hiring somebody, I do a general one-hour interview if you make it that far. And then if you make it to the second round, you can count on about 4 to 6 hours because I'm going to take you through everything we do, how we do it. And during that time, most people will get comfortable and start talking, and you'll find out whether they really have the skill set or not and whether they're a match to join the team. And that's pretty standard at the University of Georgia.
Pretty much what I would expect. Yeah, and some companies will still do that, and some companies will still do, you know, follow-up interviews and more follow-up interviews. And half of them, I don't think, ends up with anyone. And they probably end up with the wrong people anyway. Yeah, hiring's a whole other skill. If you got, you know, good HR people are as valuable as anyone else. But yeah, I don't know how well I would even do with that. I never had really the interpersonal skills. At least I did before. So I don't always interview well. But you know, there's other ways to find things out. Talking to someone for a while and you give them an actual problem and you find out how they would solve it, I guess, tells you a lot. Anyway, I'm sitting here in front of Dollar General. Let me go get some cat food. I got a bunch of hungry cats to feed. I got a dog that's trapped under the crawl space in my house. I got to go down there and try to get her out. It's a neighbor's dog, and they act like they don't care. So I almost feel like I should turn it into the pound.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a neighbor that cares a lot about their dog. If mine was under somebody's house, I'd be under there getting it out. But that's just me. But, yeah, good stuff you need, and good talk to you, Glenn. I don't know if we've talked before, but this is Bill over in Hartwell, Georgia, in 4WHM. And it was good to talk to you, and we will catch you again. 73, my friend. Stay safe.
I'll hear you maybe one time on the net. I don't check into the net anymore because I got my power supply that I'm using elsewhere. It's I got the car radio is all I got. But anyway, all right, 73s, and I'll talk to you later. It's KD2BNG. I'll be clear.
Hey, Bill, how you doing today in 4DJC?
How you doing?
From home or off, or what's going on?
From home today. I had one of those days where I just couldn't seem to get it together this morning, so I decided to work from home. I got meetings online, Zoom meetings scattered throughout the day, and I just said, well, I can do that from home as good as I can do it driving an hour to the office. So I got a call here in about 15 minutes, and then one at 4, and that'll about wrap me up for the day. But yeah, I'm just working from home today.
Which is great. That's one thing that makes a big difference when you're able to do stuff like that from home, if you have to, or even if you just want to. But I know you said you got one coming up in a little bit. I'll let you go. Just wanted to give you a shout out and say hello. Hope you have a good afternoon. And heard Dave has said today was his last day at his job. So whether he'll stay in retirement or not is probably up in there. Anyway, Dave, I don't know if you listen to W4DJW. Congrats. Hope you enjoy your semi-retirement or whatever you want to call it. Bill, I'll talk to you later on this evening, baby. Hope you have a good day. And 4DJ said clear after you.
Well, I got time to go a couple rounds. I got 15 minutes. All it takes is turning around and getting on the computer. So ain't no need to rush off unless you got somewhere to go. But, nice. It's good being in the position I'm in because I can work remote, and I got a great staff that can work whether I'm on site or remote, so it's all good.
I just listened to talking about going through the hiring process. I've been through a lot of that on my own and did a lot of it over the years, but especially mine was, man, you know, wage and hour people. It wasn't salary people. I usually had about my manufacturing staff manager, they usually had about 12 or 13 guys, and they had about between 300 and 400 wage and hour people. I interviewed probably thousands of wage and hour people over the years, and I've run into all kinds. And the manufacturing, I mean, the manager part of it usually was referrals and people within the company, so it was a known quantity, and otherwise we very seldom hired outside, you know, from outside recruiters. Just every once in a while, if we had a specific position, a specialty thing that needed to be filled, we didn't have anybody. But you know, when you got a company that's got 20,000 employees, you already got a good base.
And that happens a lot at the university. You know, I mean, I got a small staff of 16. And, you know, when we have an opening, there's about 500 to 600 IT folks or professionals on campus. And usually it's, you know, fill internal. And if you can't fill internal, then you look external. But, you know, in the USG system, there's 50,000 employees. So when you put out a job, there's a lot of people, a lot of eyes on it. So university is a great place to work. It's hard to get in because of that. But we hire from the outside probably about 50% of the time because a lot of our main IT support roles are entry level. So that's how you get in, is you have to start somewhere and build your way up.
People looking at a job presents an entirely different set of situations, what to look for and where to weed them out, that sort of thing. It becomes even more difficult, I'm sure. I've never had anything like that, so that'd be something new. But you're accustomed to, and also we generally, as a rule, you know, since ours is mostly production-based stuff, we didn't hire temps. Occasionally we'd hire a temp for a short-term project, but it was just that sort of thing. We had our own engineering staff and had our own facilities planning staff, and it was a big complement of millwrights and people, you know, machinery installers and that sort of thing. So we had all that internal to the company because it was basically like just a whole another deal. We had our own insurance company. They owned the bank, the insurance, owned insurance company, and owned their own railroad. So it was just hired from within, and we have management positions. You know, of course, they weren't posted like wage and hours were. They generally just do, you know, inside the location. It wasn't. We very seldom. We went outside occasionally, but most people, since the location is so far apart, 25 miles or so, we didn't have people moving from a location to another as far as wage and hour. Just very seldom did that happen.
Yeah, like I said, the entry level is usually local, and when we have a position like mine or higher, they do national searches, and you know, there's a lot of internal candidates, but We hire a lot of external candidates for senior positions. You know, I mean, the name of the game is looking for that experience and, you know, that background to be able to do the job. And sometimes your external candidate has been doing it for 20 years or whatever, and you can get them and they want to move to Georgia, and it just works out. That's always interesting, because anytime you bring in a new member of a team, whether it's a entry level or senior management, it changes the whole dynamic, and you get that person and their personality, and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. That's why we have a 6-month probationary period. If it doesn't work out in 6 months, you just tell them pack up, and that's the end of it. After 6 months, it's almost impossible to get fired from the state.
See, for ID, yeah, that's just the way, you know, governments operate, same everywhere, I guess. Yeah, I still had, even though I retired basically over 10 years ago, I still had recruiters calling me for positions all over the world, and I never wanted to travel. I travel in the Southeast, but I never wanted to travel internationally. A lot of people enjoy that, but I didn't want to. I had some guy about 5 years ago call me about some job in Russia, and I said, "You got to be kidding." I said, "No way." In South America and, you know, Mexico and places like that, all those dangerous spots that nobody else wants to go to. They start looking and say, "Well, we'll pay you a lot of money." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But if I ain't rent or collected, it ain't a lot." But, yeah, that kind of goes with the territory. They're always, you know, he said, I don't know, but the recruiting business was big business for years. And the textile business, because so many people moved around, and especially upper levels of management. But, yeah, they were, they'd swap people around and that sort of thing. And, you know, regime changes and that sort of thing. But, you know, when you're a privately held company like we were for so many years, it's a little different situation. But it does, I'd hate to have to go through 500 applications for a job, Bill.
Recruiters are still a big thing, especially in the IT field. I've used them, but most of the time I do it myself with a team. We have a interview committee, and I'll chair it, and we'll get the resumes and grade them and, you know, read over them. And it can be laborious, but, you know, that's what it takes. And then the higher level, you're just about going to have to go through a recruiter to get in. And that's just the way it works. But, I get calls from headhunters wanting me to take other jobs, and I'm like, I don't want to move to Idaho or, you know, somewhere in southwest Pennsylvania. I said, I'm happy right where I'm at. I appreciate your call, but no thank you.
Not long after I left the other company I worked for, 15 years, I guess, had a guy called me up wanting me to travel in the Northeast. I said, nope, not doing that. You know, I'm not going to get stuck up in snow and bad weather and have to fly all over the place. I just didn't care anything about it. I used to drive about 60,000 miles a year, and I didn't drive as much as I did flying. I hated flying for business. For pleasure, it's fun, but for business, it's just a real pain. I'd go out to Texas, and I'd stay out there about 10 days or so and come back. And I never did much travel to Florida, but the rest of the Southeast I did a good bit. But I just never, you know, north of the lower part of Virginia, I didn't go that way. I didn't travel up that way, and didn't travel in the West much outside of Texas and New Mexico. And even then, it was just, you know, once or twice a year. But now they'll call you up, and I had somebody want me to go up to Wisconsin. Worked for a company. Actually, they made it was the automotive industry, and I went through the second interview, and then they started. I thought it was going to be locally, like to Greenville, because they had an office and they had a manufacturing office. I said, "No, this is going to be in Wisconsin, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin." I said, "No, thank you."
Jim. Yeah, sometimes they leave out those important details, hoping they can lure you in. But, well, I got to run. I got about 5 minutes. I need to hit the rain closet and get me something to drink and get ready to get on this call. So it'll probably last an hour, hour and a half, so I'll be tied down the computer. But always good to talk to you, and hope everything is well and continues to go well for you. I'll tell everybody you said hello. They always enjoy the message, and have a good day. Send me through ways. Be safe.
See you later, Bill. Have a good afternoon. M4DJC, clear.